Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard while we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Good morning. Welcome to Growing Good. I am your regular weekly host and DJ, Alessandra Maria Ivoroni. Today's segment is an action alert. We are going to be attacking Occupy Education. I'm very excited and also very new to all of the matters and facts that I'm about to present to you. March 1st, today, Thursday, is the National Day of Action for the Right to Education. Students, community members, teachers, and parents across the country are mobilizing right now to say education is a right, not a privilege. There's lots of actions going on in our city today in the morning. There's local actions at schools and campuses throughout the city. At 2 o'clock, there is a meet at the NYC Department of Education. They're going to be marching over the Brooklyn Bridge. At 4, there's a rally. And in the evening, there's another rally at the panel for the educational policy meeting on school closures at the Brooklyn Technical High School. Obviously, if you're just hearing about this right now, you're not going to be making it to these events. All the same, this is an ongoing fight, and this is why you should join the fight of citizen groups like Occupy Education in the West Coast and Occupy the DOE right here in our home state. These are some of the facts. You want to join because you're saying that you want to reject the agenda for the 1%, which has led to cuts in funding for public education, soaring student debt, school privatization, and job insecurity. Also, because the student loan debt in the United States is now around $1 trillion, which is absurd. Another important reason, tuition at public colleges and universities in New York are scheduled to rise $300 a year for the next 5 years. So if you have an infant like I do, add that all up to when it's time for him to go to college. The madness has to stop. Over the past decade, Mayor Michael Bloomberg's Department of Education has closed more than 117 schools. Another issue is that only 13% of Black and Latino students in New York City graduate from high school prepared for college, meaning they're giving diplomas that are not their fullest diploma that they need to move on to college. You want to join your voice in saying that you refuse to pay for the crisis created by the 1%. You refuse to accept the dismantling of our schools and universities while the banks and corporations make record profits. You refuse to accept educational resegregation, massive tuition increases, outrageous student debt, and increasing privatization and corporatization. They got bailed out and we got sold out. That's a big saying with the Occupy. Any Occupy teachers and parents that are in this for the educational hall. Through nationally coordinated mass action, we can and will turn back the tide of austerity. There is a nationwide call on all students, teachers, workers, and parents from all levels of education, pre-K to 12th grade, through higher education in public and private institutions, and all Occupy assemblies, labor unions, and organizations of oppressed communities to mobilize across the country to tell those in power the resources exist for high-quality education for all of us. If we make the rich and the corporations pay, we can reverse the budget cuts, the tuition hikes, and tax on job security and fully fund public education and social services for all of us. This is a call from Growing Good Today. This is my small part in saying, but it is up to each school and organization to determine what local and regional actions such as strikes, walkouts, occupations, marches, etc. they will take to say no to business as usual. We have the momentum, the numbers, and the determination to win. Education is not for sale. Let's take back our schools. Let's make history together and join Occupy in our school departments, education, and for our children's future. If you aren't participating physically today in the rallies across the nation, you can participate by becoming aware and a local member, by joining Facebook pages like Occupy Education, another extremely informative Facebook page, Occupy the DOE. You're notified daily of future actions. They list the articles by parents and teachers. It's really amazing how much you can learn. I tried to read up on it. I am Occupy ignorant, as many parents are. I mean, it takes me all week just to get the bills paid, get to the groceries, take care of my child, run him from activities, keep a rich life in our own home. So this is a great way for anybody to begin becoming aware. These Facebook pages are really amazing. There are also future actions in New York City. One is on March 11th at 5 p.m. at Occupy Education Nationwide General Assembly at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And also on March 25th at 5 p.m. Occupy Education Nationwide General Assembly, again at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific. And you can find out about these assemblies simply by Googling Occupy Education, and it leads you to a site called occupyedu.org/NY. So that's a good start. In New York specifically, you want to join forces with Occupy the DOE. And in the second segment, we are going to be having a parent who is a representative of Occupy the DOE join me for a live interview. They're an organization of educators, students, parents, and community members, the 99% who, inspired by the Occupy Wall Street movement, have come together to take back public education in New York City. They oppose the New York City Department of Education's misguided reforms that are rooted in market-driven corporate culture of the 1%. The DOE, which is a little concerned with the education of the whole person, pursues a policy of creative destruction. This policy both perpetuates the shameful legacy of generations of racist pedagogy, I don't really even know that word, that's terrible, English is my second language, and ignores the damage wrought by the widening divide between the rich and the poor, the latter of which disproportionately affects our city's communities of color. They actively educate, organize, and occupy to, one, overturn the DOE's destructive reform agenda, including high-stakes testing, school closings, mayoral control, charter schools, and other forms of privatization that lead to high costs in school, starting from pre-kindergarten, by the way. My son, I cannot afford pre-K right now. I'm having to teach myself how to homeschool to get him ready for kindergarten. They also want to overturn teacher bashing and the silencing of parent, teacher, and student voices, and foster public schools that are human rights-based, inclusive, student-centered, fully and fairly funded, community-based, and democratically controlled. A New York Times article recently quoted that the grievances of the DOE are many, including a unified call against mayoral control of the school system and the privatization of the New York City public schools. Quotes from the Occupy DOE members from the same article were, in quote, "Education is being destroyed by corporations that want to make money off of education. Privatization will only marginalize a growing number of students. The more we privatize, the less we serve the public need." This was from a teacher. Another parent on the same New York Times article quoted, "People coming out of the public schools are really struggling with the basics. The smaller the classrooms, the better the education. So if you're coming out of public schools and you're struggling, you know that there's something wrong with our system. You can join the DOE. They have free Sunday afternoon meets at 2 p.m. at the Atrium in 60 Wall Street. If closed, they meet at the nearby Stir Cafe at 32 Broadway. This is open to the public if you want to get involved every Sunday." A little bit more on what the Occupy Wall Street movement has to do with families and family strategies. The Occupy Wall Street movement has been sweeping the globe and captivating the media for many months with the message, "We are the 99%. American protesters are drawing attention to the frustrating growth of income equality in the United States. Here in New York, especially, working families have joined the protests, and parents are working together to highlight the many struggles of today's families, such as rapidly rising costs of health care and childcare. On Columbus Day, many children visited Zuccotti Park, the movement's home base just a few blocks away from A Better Balance's office. Now, I did a little bit of snooping, and A Better Balance is a great service. You should check them out online. They're a legal team fighting to give American workers the time and flexibility they need to care for their families. They help to balance the demands of employment and home. They help to ensure that families are prioritized, not punished, in the workplace. Their mission is to promote equality and expand choices for men and women at all income levels so that they may care for their families without sacrificing their economic security. They employ a range of legal strategies to promote flexible workplace policies, end discrimination against caregivers, and the value of the work of caring for their families. And based on the continuing interest of New York families, parents for Occupy Wall Street also held a family sleepover in the park back in October. And the timing for this family movement in Occupy Wall Street was notable because October was National Work and Family Month. A Better Balance, I went on their website, and like right now, the topics that they're freely attacking for the public were currently pregnancy rights in the workplace, and also something that I found very interesting and useful, and I want to thank them. The fight on sick days, wherein they're saying that not only should you in the workplace be granted your own paid sick days, but an additional paid sick days for your children, which obviously, you know, is logic. And I don't know why this hasn't happened in the workplace, because if my son is sick, I'm sick. So we're going to be taking a break right now, and when we come back, you'll hear from one of the activists themselves, and I'm very excited. This first song is maybe not so appropriate, but it was one of my favorites growing up in school. This is Van Halen's Hot for Teacher.
On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
You're back with Growing Good. This is Growing Good's take on Occupy Education. Janine, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, thank you so much. Janine and I did Occupy last minute this morning. All week I was trying to get quotes or somebody on the line that could teach me and my audience a little bit more about the amazing efforts. And Janine was, I'm grateful to you that she got in touch with me this morning to talk a little bit about her efforts in the program. How are you doing today, Janine?
I'm doing great, thank you.
So we were able to talk a little bit, and you were telling me that you're involved in various parts of Occupy, the DOE. That's your home base, correct?
It's one of my home bases. I tend to sort of fly around to various organizations because there are, as you are about to find out, there are many different advocacy groups around education. More and more keep blossoming because of the conditions that education is in right now. So ODOE is one of the groups that seems to culminate all of the groups together.
That's really great. And just a little bit on the past, were you involved in any of these marches that I mentioned in the first segment, the sleepover? Or?
No, I have. I'm a single mom. I have an 8-year-old. So the most I can do is get her out and get her to rallies and so forth. But we do a lot of that. I didn't come out of the Occupy movement, except that I, you know, visited Zuccotti Park on a number of occasions. But education is my thing, and that's where I seem to find a good home.
And that's okay, because on a personal note, I wanted to say that I looked at a bunch of, like, YouTube clips, and I don't necessarily know if I tend to believe that it's the best place for children to be, you know, when you know there's going to be aggressive authority members and, you know, lots of ignorant officials out there. I'm not sure I would want my son around that. I saw some videos where the children had made crafts and then the police showed up and tore down the crafts and the children were crying and not really understanding what was happening. So what's important is that the adults and the teachers fight for our children's future, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, when I bring my daughter to a hearing or I bring her to a rally, you know, I really engage her in the process on the level that she can
understand.
Digest it. And mm-hmm. she actually, at one of the rallies downtown, marching over the Brooklyn Bridge, she did a mic check, and it was probably the most powerful moment of her life, where she's not afraid to speak
in front of a public audience.
Exactly.
So making it about their learning development, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So when we were talking this morning, you were going to fill us in a little bit about the big meet that's going on tonight.
Yeah, so nationally today is a National Day of Action, where education activists and advocates all over the country are doing various actions in the cities that they reside. Today is a particularly special day. It just so happens to be that today is a major vote of the PEP, which is we call it so many things. It's the Panel for Educational Policy. It's primarily a mayoral appointed board that makes major decisions on school closings and co-locations and all sorts of things regarding the Department of Ed. So that happens to be tonight.
So basically you're saying that it's not the teachers, it's not the principals, it's not the parents, it's the high anarchy in politics that are the board members of these.
Yes. Ever since, and this is kind of new to me, I've only been an activist for under a year, but I've come to understand that under mayoral control, which has been 10 years in New York City, most people's hands are tied. Anybody who really understands education, has a child in the system, doesn't have much of a say in what goes on. And so a lot of what's happening as far as these rallies and today being a national day of action is a way to use a democratic process that the PEP does not use to have our voices heard, to have our messages understood, to galvanize various opposition to what's happening, and to begin to really brainstorm about how we do see education and what we do think is best for children. And I think that so much of that is never talked about at the top.
Right.
You know, they use the language that they are holding teachers accountable or they're holding students accountable. But at the end of the day, I have an 8-year-old. What is she accountable for? She's accountable to have a great
education,
wonderful time while she's learning and being excited. And that's being missed at the top.
Right. And it's just also so sad, if you really think about it, that to fight all of these things, us parents have to take time out of our days, maybe time away from our kids, just to show up in numbers, just to fight these things that on paper read as ridiculous to begin with. So the fact that we are having to go the extra mile and, you know, and take away from our own families just to do what these people on these boards should be doing for us.
Absolutely. And I think, but you know, I always, you know, my positive way of looking at life is that there's a definite silver lining around this gray cloud, which is that I think for far too long, you know, not even just 10 years of mayoral control, but for a generation, we've really disconnected from community. We've allowed sort of this you know, what's in it for me kind of mentality to operate in our lives, and how much can I get, and is, as long as my family's okay, kind of thinking that we forgot that there was a bigger process of life happening around us, mm-hmm. and that we are co-creators in it, and that we are part of a whole ecosystem, social system, and, you know, the internet has helped us recognize that there's a global mm-hmm. Energy that's moving around us. So if it's through all of this adversity that it brings us back into community spirit, then I think that that's
one of the good things.
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice of you to say and remind us all. And it is true, because parents, you may have everything in your home together, but when your child goes to school, that is the beginning of their social evolvement, and they are going to be interacting with all sorts of children from all sorts of income levels and homes. And that's why I think what Janine is trying to say is that it's so important to, you know, help immobilize the whole situation to fit to your beliefs, because you're sending your child to a world and then you get them back from that world.
Yeah, and you know, I want my daughter's 8 hours a day to be an extension of what I teach her at home.
Exactly.
I don't want it to be sort of compartmentalized. These are
right.
her friends. This is her social network. This is my social network. You know,
right.
our schools used to be part of our guiding force of society. It used to be a place where parents and teachers and students once gathered under a very wonderful kind of organizing structure that was giving and sharing. And, you know, if I couldn't pick up my kids, somebody else would pick up my kid. And, New York City does have that flavor still. But I think we forget that there's another school down the street, there's another school in another district that's not necessarily undergoing that experience. So.
And, of course, we're struggling with overpopulation in our city. I mean, there's a 2-year waiting list for the Montessori school I want to send my son to, so he's not going to be going to that school.
Exactly. And why aren't we looking at the Montessori model as a model for public,
schools?
There's
oh, that
no
would be so amazing.
$30,000 a year doesn't have to be spent to educate a child well.
It's true.
The city has a ton of money for education. What I would like to have parents think about is, how is it being spent? Why is it not trickling down into the classroom? Why is my school being charged with the responsibility of raising extra money just for everyday expenses? It's not fair. It's not right. This is our public money.
Mm-hmm.
It's being used in private ways that people who, you know, just drop their kid off every day don't really understand. So,
and it's also people's monies without kids, you guys. It's just your taxes in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are they going to be voting on tonight, Janine? What is the vote?
Well, the vote tonight is there are a number of co-locations, which a co-location is when one school is placed inside another school. Sometimes the community supports the co-location. Sometimes it's a really good move. Other times, like tonight, and particularly the group that I'm working with, which is the South Side Schools Coalition, is in opposition of this. It's a charter school
mm-hmm.
that's being placed into a public school,
mm-hmm.
and the public school has space, but it's a growing community in Williamsburg.
Sure.
And it's a school that's been systematically defunded and devalued while lots and lots of money is being spent to make sure that this charter school that is also a public school but run by private management.
And then I hear that, so I'm not sure if this is true, but there was a gentleman in the private management claiming he had a family, and then it turned out he did not have kids at all. I heard something like that. I mean, really shady stuff.
Yeah, it's a way these organizations are infiltrating our communities under the guise of being neighborhood people.
Right.
When in fact they know nothing about the neighborhood and they really care nothing about the neighborhood.
Right, that's right. The guy lives on Park Avenue, I remember, right.
Yeah, they're all about the business. And I think that that's, you know, the most important thing that the Occupy movement is trying to shed light on is that education should not be based on a business model. We're talking about children's lives. We're talking about teachers' lives. We're talking about community. And it's not to say that we don't want our children educated well, and it's not that we don't want them performing well, but it's not all about performance.
Sure.
You know, parents.
No, it's terrible that when I look at my bank account and then I think, what am I going to do? Because, you know, I want to do Steiner. I want to do Montessori and the public schools. You know, I've heard some good things, but they also, you know, scare me for my son around here. It's terrible. And I can't afford either one. So what is someone like me to do?
Right. Well, I mean, to answer that, I would say someone like you is to begin familiarizing yourself with the schools that are in your neighborhood, are in your district,
right,
and talk to the staff and talk to other parents and see what it takes to bring those schools into a level of compatibility with your standards. And it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the schools that I've been involved with, you know, the PTAs are part of it. The school leadership team is part of it. I think that parents have sort of taken a back seat and allowed the school to do everything.
It's true, because a lot of the people in your organization were teachers. That's why they could not be on air with us today. So not only are these teachers dealing with, like, terrible pay and, you know, terrible bashing and not being able to be as progressive as they want to be, they're also out there fighting for our kids because they want to bring in the
yeah.
good materials. They want to bring in the good hours. They want less children in their classroom because they want to give them more attention. And so the best thing we can do is for parents is to help these teachers out, man. I mean, they're doing so much double time for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the media has really demonized the teaching profession and teachers and schools and all of that. And I think that, you know, more now than ever, we need to be supportive. You know, we may not have 100% of the best teachers in the world, but what business does have 100% of the best? That's not the model we need to look at. What we need to do, and I think that this is, you know, what parents need to begin to understand, is that we can no longer sit quietly while the policymakers are making the decisions for our children and for our schools.
And more importantly, while our money is going to the 1%, not the 99%, which is what Occupy is all about.
Exactly. So education is at the heart of a lot of these issues, and I think that it's a natural outgrowth of the movement.
One more thing I wanted to ask you about before our time is up, Janine, is that you were telling me your other primary concern and fight right now is the deal going on with high-stakes standardized testing. Could you let us know about that a little bit?
Sure. Well, more and more, the Department of Ed, and this is really coming down from the federal government, are the implementation of standardized tests, which, you know, there are arguments for and against standardized testing. Everybody can have an opinion about them, but what's very difficult and threatening right now is the use of those test scores on our children and their progress, on their teachers and how they're graded, and then eventually how the school is graded, which could then ultimately end in the closure of a school. So basically what's happening is that our children are being used, data is being collected. It's not often it's definitely not an accurate measure of how learning takes place, because you're taking a snapshot, a one-day or a one-week event of testing.
Sure.
That doesn't tell you anything about your whole child and how they learn and how they've progressed. But the government.
And what are the consequences of this test?
Well, the consequences are, in some cases, children do not move from one grade to the next.
Oh, my Lord.
Or they're mandatory. They're put into summer school mandatorily.
God forbid, you get called in with the principal and they say, this is the medicine we think we should put your child on because he has ADD, which is a whole other ridiculous thing.
Exactly. And you know, I would argue to say that ADD is an offshoot of an education system that's trying to control the natural tendencies of learning and children.
I completely agree with you. And just putting kids in therapy when they're still growing or on medicine, when, first of all, their brain is still developing, the risks and side effects are just maddening and just, you know, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, there are scientists who are on top of what the stress hormones and the stress levels of these tests are then producing in our children. So it's
right.
It's this chronic, you know, adrenaline rush, the red alert, the fear alert. It's a whole campaign to get our kids you know, away from their natural inclinations. Their, you know, children grow, as we know, at various different rates. You know, what works for one third grader doesn't work for another. Kids learn in different ways. So if our education system doesn't reflect the children, then in fact it's a flawed system. And you cannot make children fit into a script.
It's so are you guys trying to ban the test or just, you know, evolve it? Or
well,
what's
I mean,
the outcome?
There are parents that are talking about the possibility of boycotting the test.
Amazing.
I mean, New York State does not offer an option to opt out of tests.
Right.
So it's going
if we get a mass boycott going, then it's just like everything else in Occupy. If you show up and if you join the rallies, then that's unfortunately the only way we can make a difference right now, like straight up revolution.
Right. Well, I would guide your guide your audience mm-hmm. to a website that's called changethestakes.org.
Wonderful.
And in the next 24 to 48 hours, there'll be some updated information that will help navigate this idea if they have, you know, school-age children mm-hmm. or if you have any concerns about
or if you're thinking of having a child, even. If you're trying to get pregnant, this all has to do with you. But I know that lots of my friends have like teacher degrees and they, you know, that's just really what they want to do. And they're out bartending or something because they can't afford to live on their pay or they can't afford to do what their passion does. So it's really a global issue. And Janine, we're out of time, but I thank you so much. You were so informative and loving, and I look forward to perhaps meeting you face to face one day at one of these events.
It sounds awesome. And if you want more information offline, I'll give you a list of websites if you want to connect them to your
Webpage. Please give them to my producer right now.
Great.
Thanks, Janine.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much. This is all the time that we have. This topic is endless. I had lots more facts for you. But again, you can find everything out yourself. If you just Google Occupy and what it means to families, you'll find out a lot more about they're fighting. They're out there at Occupy events fighting not only for education, but for better workplace flexibility for all workers and their families, better income levels to lead healthier lives, sleep better, support their families better, get better retirement funds, pension funds, Medicare. It's all there. Thanks a lot. Love and light, Alessandra.
They'll try to break my balls. Should I build the wall? Mother, should I run for president?
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.